You know, the Word of God has a lot to say about, well, two worlds that will collide. If you begin to understand what's meant by the two worlds, well, the one world is the one we're living in, of course. Then there's the world that is with Jesus in glory. But when these two collide, they come together. Oh, well, you think you've seen sparks fly? Well, you ain't seen nothing yet. Okay? Oh, you know, in 1 Corinthians we read, a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. You know what I mean by that, huh? A little leaven, that's all it takes. That's like saying a little spark can start a mammoth fire. Just a little spark. Tell me something. Is there a little spark in you when it comes to the things of God? Are you excited to know that you have a relationship with Jesus Christ because of what happened at Calvary? Are you? Oh. Well, stay tuned. I sincerely hope and pray that the words that come forth to your ears this day will give you much in the way of understanding concerning the two worlds colliding and your relationship with God, all right? You know, suddenly the inspired Word of God, well, it's snatched from the frames of time and swallowed up by the pit of perdition. Oh, the pit of perdition. Nobody likes to hear that, do they? Oh, no, of course not. Not at all. You know, if you look in Mark, in the book of Mark, Mark 8, and 36, yeah, Mark 8, 36, we read, "What shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" You got that? What shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Well, not much, I'm afraid. Not much indeed. You know, many are religious in this world. Many. But lost. That's the flip side. It's like saying many are saved, but they're not going anywhere. Except down below, where the devil's waiting with his angels to stoke the flames a little higher to welcome you aboard. You know, many are religious, but lost. Isn't that a terrible thought? Many are religious. In fact, the whole world is religious, but lost. In the eyes of God, they're lost. They're lost because they did not give their lives over to Jesus Christ and believe in what happened at Calvary. That's why. Religion can be a very, very harmful thing unless you understand it. There's good religion and there's bad religion. People just say, "Oh, you're too religious for me," or "Get away from me with your religious junk." Well, it's religion. But if it comes from above, it's good. Good religion. Yes, it is. The Bible tells us fundamentally that all our righteousness, well, it's as filthy rags. Filthy rags. It's not a pleasant thought, is it? In Romans, well, if we read that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, everyday life has fundamentals. You see, you can be religious. You can even be saved. But unless you understand and go by the fundamentals as laid down in the Scriptures, then that's all you are, is just religious. You have to know and accept the fundamentals, especially what happened at the cross. Some refer to these fundamentals, as we say, as the basics, like, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow you may die. I've heard lots of people say, that's the fundamentals of my life. I'm going to eat, I'm going to drink, I'm going to be merry, because tomorrow I may die. Well, you will die, but nobody knows when. You see, Without fundamentals, we would be in tremendous disarray. Oh, yes, we would. We'd have no guidelines, none whatsoever. All you'd hear is, get out of the way. Mind your own business. Hurry up and wait. These are all basics, all fundamentals that we go through every day. But when you equate the world's fundamentals, now get this, when you equate the world's fundamentals with biblical standards, guess what? You run into a brick wall. Or a solid brick wall indeed. The only resolve seems to be, well, let the people do what the people want to do, and not what God wants them to do. Hello, hellfire! Oh, you know, you might think that that's just a myth. But if you don't believe in what happened at Calvary and you haven't given your life over to Jesus Christ, you're going to find out that hellfire is very real. Very real. Over in 2 Timothy 2, we read, But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase to more ungodliness. Shun them! You know what vain babblings are, Roger? Profane and vain babblings? They have no good place before God at all. Shun them. Get them out of your life. Satan, the god of this world, you know what? He hates us fundamentalists. He hates us. You see, we're tripping him up at every turn. We're making his life miserable. But you know what? He's going to keep on keeping on. Oh, yes. And he's going to welcome you people who think that you're going to heaven, but you haven't repented and believed in the gospel. He's going to make you think that you have, just because someone told you sometime, somewhere. As fundamentalists, well, we are told to come out from among them and be ye separate, and touch not the unclean thing. Wow, we're not talking about mud in your eye here. And this includes separating from those who have departed from the faith. Departed from the faith. This also includes those who were once King James Bible believers. Once they were, but have been deceived by the devil into thinking that watered-down Bible versions are acceptable to God. The God who has preserved His Word from the beginning. Oh, wow. You know, you better check your salvation. You better check it out real good. You cannot change God's holy and purified word and say things like, oh, well, it means the same thing. Right? Yeah. Jumping off a bridge means the same thing, whether the bridge be 100 feet high or half a foot or 6 inches high, right? It's the same thing. You're jumping off a bridge. It's not going to help you. It's not going to do anything for you. Oranges and apples, well, they both come from a fruit tree, but they're not the same thing. Oh, if only these foolish and hoodwinked people will realize that when God said that He will preserve His Word and someone tells you that He don't have the true word of God, don't believe them. Don't believe them. Let God be true and every man a liar. That's what those scriptures say. Let God be true and every man a liar. Realize this. If you don't want to accept anything else, just get our grip on this. You ready? If the God who said He has preserved His word for us, if He hasn't done so, then what kind of God is He? Oh, if you don't believe in the preservation of His Word, then how can you believe in heaven or a resurrection? Some deceivers have already led millions to hell's door by proclaiming there is no hell. You're not going to like this, but Billy Graham is among them. He said, yes, Jesus is the way to heaven, but he's not the only way. I'll beg your pardon. I'll beg your pardon, but you are wrong. He is the only way. Oh, you don't win souls over by doing that. Say, well, I believe, but I got to do it my way, okay? Oh, yeah. Oh, sure, sure. You know, I like to recommend here Psalm 12, 6 and 7. I want to read these words to you. Please cleave to them the best you can. Psalm 12, 6 and 7. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. How long? Forever. Forever. They're pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Wow. You can't get any purer than that, you know that. Pope John Paul, to name a few, he was one of them as well. Oh, yes, Jesus is a way, but he's not now. He's not the only way. He's advocating that all over the world. Where's he headed? 1 Timothy 4, verse 1 makes it very clear. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Doctrines of devils? Wow! Who needs it? Oh, this is, we're in the latter times now. You better shake your head if you don't think so. It's good versus evil. Evil versus good. Right down the line. You know, while fundamentalists and orthodox are basically the same, those who are modernists now, are the opposite. They deny the King James Bible in part. They deny it in part. Let them be accursed. Oh, you can't grasp some of the words of God and deny other words of God. You have to grasp them all and feel comfortable in your heart that they're real, and to pray. Pray without ceasing that God will give you understanding. Neo and New Orthodox, they reject the modernist position on the Word of God, but still refuse to accept the fundamentalist stand that the Bible is the Word of God. They reject the modernist position, but they refuse to accept the fundamentalist stand. Well, all I can say is, one day you'll find out. You'll find out for sure. Evangelicals, who have always been strong in core beliefs concerning fundamentalism, are in part moving in the direction of new evangelicalism and are softening their stand on the resurrection. They are, and hell and other areas of the Bible. That's new evangelicalism. If it's new, it's not true. You better believe it. Hell and other areas of the Bible, that's scary, including now the exactness of Scripture, the exactness of Scripture. The most obvious issue of new evangelicals, well, it's that they do not entirely go along with such things as come out from among them and be ye separate. They take a soft, compromising position on worldliness so as not to alienate or unfriend their wild and rowdy friends. As a result, well, evangelicals and fundamentalists do not get along as they once did. Not at all. New evangelicalism is identified by several characteristics. New evangelicalism, now pay attention here, please. They have a familiar attitude towards science, especially when it comes to evolution. Another of their characteristics is they desire to re-examine their beliefs concerning the word of the Holy Spirit. Number three, they also hold fast to the continuance of tongues, speaking in tongues, and prophecies. And let it be known that a tongue that babbles without understanding is not of God, I say to you. A babbling brook belongs to God, but a babbling tongue has no place in the kingdom of God. Then we have small fundamentalist churches being defined as, are you ready for this? Too legalistic. In other words, we believe too much of the exactness of Scripture, the fundamentals of Scripture. We believe it too solidly, too strongly, too legalistic. Bah humbug. Now, how can one be too legalistic when he's following the Word of God? Can you get more legalistic than that? It's either the Word of God, which means what it says, or it isn't. My friends, this is a major cop-out. That's what it is, a major cop-out. People have fundamentalist churches mostly because they want more freedom from the Word of God. Or pardon me, people leave fundamentalists. Not want them, they don't want them. They leave fundamentalists. If they think they're a fundamentalist now and they can't handle it, they leave it. Because they feel they need more freedom from the Word of God. In other words, you can't do that. You shouldn't do that. That's wrong over there. Do you get the point? And new evangelicals have the more tolerant attitude towards various views of eschatology. That's where new evangelicals came into existence. You're still an evangelical, but you're a new evangelical. You understand what God is saying more so than these fundamentalists. You're wrong. You're wrong. And they're totally open to Bible misinterpretation. That's what they are, these new evangelicals. Totally open to it. Oh, well, you know, you can take that several ways, but here's the way, you know, God, what you had, you had. Yeah, yeah, sure. You go right ahead. Things like, maybe there's no pre-trib rapture. Oh, that's a good one. Maybe it's at the middle. Or, I believe Christ was crucified on Friday instead of Wednesday or Thursday. Run with it. Fly with it. Do what you want with it. You will answer to God unless His Word is telling you exactly what you're hearing. You will answer to Almighty God. Here's the warning. Here's the warning. Hold fast to the fundamentals of God's Word. Hold fast to the fundamentals of God's Word. New evangelicalism says, let's make some building and do the farming before we give out the gospel. Let's make some building and do the farming before we give out the gospel. How about if the two go hand in hand, which they do? Build. Give the gospel. Do it together. They work together. Not put one aside where you do the other. When the two go hand in hand, when new evangelicals enter a country faced with starvation, they do so without now using the gospel as their way of hope. In other words, it's good works. good news. They must go together. Good works and good news must go together. If not, well, they will die during their social endeavors without ever hearing the gospel, the true gospel, and go straight to hell. The gospel is the imperative for a Christian, or you're not a Christian. While the social aspect is imperative, the Word of God must be in the forefront. What I'm saying is, whatever we do, do all to the glory of God. All to the glory of God. And don't think for a moment that your good works, your good works will have the preeminence over salvation. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works. You got that last phrase? Not of works. Oh, you know, this does not mean that you make a starving child wait for food until they believe in Christ. Here, little boy, have a sandwich. Tell me, do you believe in Jesus? Well, what's the kid going to say? No. Oh, well, then you can't have the sandwich. Go hungry. He's waiting for the sandwich. You're bribing him. Bribery is against the law of God. What I'm saying is, make it known that were it not for Jesus Christ, there would be no food, no buildings, no hope. If Christ doesn't come first, then you are presenting a social gospel, and that's wrong. That is wrong. New evangelicals have chosen to redefine the subject of biblical inspiration. That's rethinking the scriptures. Do we have God's word or not? Do we? You had better decide and do so now, because tomorrow is promised to no one. It's time to stop dragging your feet and dilly-dallying. And going that way, and going that way, and going that way, and choosing the one you like best, or the one that feels best for you. There's only one gospel. Only one gospel. The one of Jesus Christ. 2 Timothy, we read, all scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Instruction in righteousness. Wow. It's profitable. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's not just thrown out there just as fillers. You know, oh, well, there's a gap over here. Let's put something in here. No. The Word of God is inspiration from God. Tell me, were you once a fundamentalist and then said, oh, well, I went to this other church and they didn't believe that stuff. That is just being overdone. You don't have to go across the line like that. You know, all you have to do is believe in Jesus and what he did. That's the case closed. Well, technically, that is the case. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy home, thy house. But God looks upon the heart. You don't say it because that's the easy way out, or the easy way in, you think. The Word of God is profitable. It's firm. It's lasting. Tell me, were you once a fundamentalist? Think about it now. Are not the words of the Lord Jesus Christ basically fundamental? Huh? Or are they only part fundamental? and part new evangelical or something else. Think about that. It's a heavy axe to grind, is it not? Ooh. I mean, wanting the best of both worlds? Well, that might be okay in your books if one of your worlds didn't belong to the devil. Those are the two worlds, heaven and hell. Those two last forever, eternal. Everything else is just wood, hay, and stubble. It's a heavy axe to grind. And you know what happens when two worlds collide? Huh? When two worlds collide? Only what's done for Christ will last. Only what's done for Jesus Christ will last. Are you ready? Are you? Is your destiny confirmed by the cross of Christ? Do you read His Word over and over and tell all you can about Him? Are you fully in touch with what God requires of you so you can enter into His kingdom? Are you? Do you? I pray so. I pray so. I want to thank you for listening to this sermon today, When Two Worlds Collide. And I pray if you didn't get it the first time that you'd play it through again and get it. Get it. It's important that you get it. There is a difference. There is a difference. May God bless you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.